NST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got so much good stuff going on here. Maybe stadium, maybe a new baseball owner. It's been a little while since I got together with this guy. Since the last time I got together with this guy, I've been touched by Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson and the ghost of Neil Peart. Luke Jones joins us now. I got to tell you, I've been out on the road, and I have all these new lottery tickets. Luke doesn't even have any of these. I didn't give any of these away on Friday night when we were all gathering holiday-oriented over at the BMA and Gertrude's and seeing Dan Rodrick's. Peppermint payout multipliers. I got O snaps. We have them in purple even, and we have them in gold as well. We have the unwrap the cash lottery tickets. We're going to be giving these away on Friday at Curio. I am a blunt person. We're going to be at Foreign Daughter on Friday. Gina Schock, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, is going to be with us. We're going to be giving these away. And I have a mystery crab cake I'm going to be talking about. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I'm going to wear the floppy hat, the fun hat with Gina Schock on Friday at Foreign Daughter between 2 and 5 as well. And our friends at Jiffy Lube, multi-care, taking care of us. My oil light just went on again the other day. I'm doing too much driving. Must have been all that back and forth with Tommy Conwell up to Philadelphia. Luke, the Ravens are 10-3. I've known you a long time. We've shared highs and lows, shall we say, you know, whether it was Ray Rice breaking off runs in Foxborough in the early days. By the way, Joe Flacco says hello. We exchanged some pleasantries on Sunday evening. I gave him a little Dundalk to, East Philly via Jersey love. But, boy, this season's become something, hadn't it? I mean, I was talking to Bill Cole last week. We did the Crab Cake Tour at State Fair. We're talking about gratitude and the holidays. But we talked a lot of football. And I guess when it's this good, $3 tickets at game time aside, I'll point that out. I'll continue to point that out. And the fact that there were 20,000 empty seats. It was a hell of a day for a football game, and I guess you witnessed something, and you've witnessed a lot of games and championships and all that. I thought you were rather ebullient in your praise at Baltimore Positive in regard to it was a very memorable game. I don't know what it's going to lead to or where it is, but Kylan Wallace is right up there with Tito Landrum and Anthony Mitchell, and it was a good one on Sunday.
No question about it. And we talked about this a lot during baseball season, and you would bring it up when we would reconvene on Monday mornings, recapping the week in Orioles baseball, that there would be unexpected heroes and guys that would come out of the woodwork and help you win a baseball game. And of course, that's going to happen over 162, right? But even in the course of a football season, 16 games, now 17 games, of course. And if you're going to do more than that and make a January run, you go back to the 2000 Ravens. You mentioned Anthony Mitchell, 2012, different things that happened over the course of that season, like the win in San Diego.
How about Jacoby Jones? A friend of mine sat and watched the game with Jacoby Jones on Sunday, and I'm thinking to myself, there's a guy that was kind of tossed out. He got here. He was damaged to some degree. He was even damaged here. He wasn't like a great player here at all points, especially as a wide receiver. But he made moments, man. I mean, like the biggest moments in the history of the franchise, Jacoby Jones had his hand on the ball, and he didn't have his hand on the ball that much in the scope of things, right?
Well, the Houston Texans didn't want him to have his hands on the ball because he'd put it on the turf, and that's the reason why he wound up in Baltimore. But the point is, if you're going to have a special season, if you're a great team, you have to find ways to win, different ways to win over the course of a full season, over the course of a 3 or 4 game run in January. And what we saw on Sunday, let's face it, and you've talked at length about this, you've sung the praises of Roquan Smith. You know, I saw at one point you said he's the best player the Ravens have had since Ray Lewis. Certainly on the defensive side of the ball, I you know, a couple other guys come to mind, but he's right on that very short list. But their defense was bad on Sunday, and the defense has led the way this year, right? Defense, points allowed, okay, they gave up a little bit more against Cleveland in the Week 10 loss, but keep in mind, that included a pick six that Lamar Jackson had thrown off, that weird deflection. 410 yards allowed, season high. 5.6 yards per play allowed, season high. They had only allowed more than 5 yards per play once all season, and they allowed 5.6 on Sunday. 282 net passing yards allowed, season high. So this was not
all of this on an awful day to throw the football on an awful way. Just in general, like the fact that all this offense happened, and it didn't happen because the ball was squirting around. It happened on productivity, but really breakdowns on both sides of the ball. I mean, the Ravens had huge plays because of breakdowns. I mean, it and there were a lot of mistakes on the X's and O's of the Jimmys and Joes on Sunday.
There were, but I mean, that's also how the NFL works, right? I mean, at some point in time, we need to recognize that this is a heck of a football team. I mean, this is one of the very best teams in the NFL. This is the best team in the AFC right now. Now, Patrick Mahomes in January, we'll see what that looks like. Chiefs aren't looking very good right now, and they're whining about an offside call that I don't know what they're whining about.
Dude, that was embarrassing, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So, like, I'm a Mahomes guy. I'm a homie.
So am I.
He's a likable guy and, like, all that. Even the way Peyton Manning was likable and the way Tom Brady really wasn't likable and the way that Brett Favre maybe would only appeal to certain people. You know, I'm thinking about quarterbacks, but here's a guy that, like, won – and like Michael Jordan, when he was winning in the early days, you didn't root against Jordan. You rooted for him. He was a good – he was the baby face. You know what I mean? And what was that? That was gross, dude. You know?
I think that was the symptom of much greater levels of frustration with how that offense has operated. Not nearly as explosively as the past, not as good at the wide receiver position. They certainly have had their issues. I think his reaction there – was probably more of a cumulative impact of things just not working as well for Kansas City. And that's not to say that, I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're still going to be the team that everyone's going to be saying, you know, if they're coming to Baltimore, hey, it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs still. And that's going to be something to be reckoned with.
And if you it won't be shocking. If the Ravens somehow get out at 23-21 at home,
sure,
in an awful Colts-like 2006 loss, that would not be a shock. And it wouldn't be a shock for the Bills. You know, any of these teams that have a quarterback. Now, maybe Jake Browning or Joe Flacco doing that to you be a little more shocking. And we're sort of setting up, you know, in that. But what a conference, though. Like, I know we want to talk about the game and all that. Maybe this is the segment we just talk about the conference, because all this 7-6, all this uncertainty, and all these teams that – I don't know if you feel great about anybody coming to Baltimore and playing a playoff game in January on that pathway and saying, well, we got this, we're 9-point favorite and they can't play. I think whoever makes this is going to have a quarterback and to your point, maybe pedigree or a coach, because it's not going to be the Chargers this year or the Titans this year. It's going to be a team that earns their way into this tournament the next 4 weeks, including the Ravens, who have the toughest schedule. I see Kornacki doing all of this Kornackiisms of his screen and all this nerdisms and percentages that you love so much on the math side and the gamblers love. But I see all those teams and I'm like, you know, okay, the Ravens are 3-point favorite. They'll have to go out and play well. They won't have to kick the ball around. And then Sunday happens. They played poorly enough at various points. And we're going to do a whole segment on my friend John Harbaugh and his decisions in the game and in game, man, that's its own animal. But it's this tournament and the way it's setting up on the play into the tournament the next couple of weeks and the kinds of games the Ravens have and primetime this week and Christmas night primetime next week. And oh, the Steelers are going to be waiting around the corner. Oh, the Dolphins, they score 70 on you. All of that's over the hill. So these feel like playoff games, and I love that Lamar talked about that Sunday.
He did, and I mean, he talked about the emotions of that. He acknowledged, okay, it's not a championship, but he said it was like a playoff atmosphere, and it was. And I heard what you said. Yeah, there were no shows. Yeah, the rain kept some people away, but I also had multiple people messaging me that they were at the game, and it's the first time their voice has been hoarse in quite some time. I mean, it was that kind of a game, and look, I get it. I'm not going to sit here and say that this is the same Rams team from 2 years ago, but I'll also say they're better than a 6-7 record, and they played better than that for about a month. So I don't want to be dismissive of this win. Look, is it the best win of the season in terms of quality of opponent? No, but is this the kind of game that I think you can draw some confidence from if you're faced with a similar situation in January and you've got a back and forth game? And okay, it's not going to be Matthew Stafford, but hey, Matthew Stafford's one of the few active quarterbacks in the NFL who has a Super Bowl under his belt. And we've said this about Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense for years now. Can you go toe to toe with another elite quarterback, with another potent offense in January? And I get it, it's December, but it's the closest thing you can get to January, right? So they did that on Sunday. Lamar threw for over 300 yards. He had 3 touchdown passes.
They've
led all year long. Even their 3 losses this year, Nestor, they led in most of those games. They trailed at halftime. They trailed at the end of the third quarter. They trailed with under 5 minutes to go, and they kept coming back. Now, it wasn't this massive deficit. It wasn't a 10-point deficit.
And it wasn't their offense that won the game either. Lamar, they got the ball in overtime and they peed down their leg, right? So, like, it is amazing. The special teams, the John Harbaugh thing. And you talk about, we talked about Jacoby Jones. Let's give Jay Lou some love, too. Just got into the Hall of Fame. I saw Jermaine Lewis with big, you know, in those seasons, there are special teams plays and great, and Justin Tucker making kicks in Denver, you know, just big things that happen with special teams. And that's where Harbaugh gets his hat, and that's where Jason Garrett sits on TV, a deposed coach watching Harbaugh make $15 million a year, and says, "Great special teams, coach."
Yeah, well, and let's face it, this hasn't been a special year for the special teams relative to what you would come to expect under John Harbaugh teams. I mean, you know, I'm not nearly as moved by the perceived struggles of Justin Tucker when you really start to nail down and look at some of the missed kicks. I mean, a couple blocked, you know, really long kicks, not talking missing 47 yarders consistently.
Hey, look, dude,
like
it's
that.
January 28th. It's 41 degrees. There's a light rain. The game is 17 to 16. You need a 48-yard field goal.
Who else do you want? I mean, he's still the guy. He's still the gold standard.
I got you.
But my point, the point I was making, the overall, though, their special teams have had more lapses this year. And I mean, Chris Horton even talked about that coming out of the bye week. So, and by the way, I mean, Tylan Wallace, no career touchdowns prior to Sunday, no career punt returns prior to Sunday. I mean, he replaced Duvernay, who got hurt. So for that to happen, and yeah, they set up a nice return, but he also broke three tackles. I mean, just as Buck Showalter would describe it, just the want to that he had on that play was just, I mean, it's impressive, and you feel good for him. I get it. His NFL career to this point, 3 years in, hasn't panned out in the way they envisioned when they drafted him out of Oklahoma State, but he's been, offside penalty aside, earlier in the game, he's been one of their more dependable special teams contributors the last few years, but this was something that was new to him in a game setting, and he did a great job with it. So,
by the way, he exhibited, and I don't can't say that I talked to that kid, and I know you have in the past. You're in the locker room a little bit more often. Those were the guys I always loved, right? People would say to me, "How do you know Mike Flynn all these years later? And how did you know Ryan Jensen? And how did you have a relationship with Bart Scott?" Even Matthew Judon, I tried when he was around the corner, tried to be polite and know everyone on the team, because I thought that that was an important part as a media member, that I didn't, you know, I didn't pick favorites, black, white, first team, second team, special teams, offense, defense. It didn't matter to me, coaches. I liked every, I was interested in the sport, but guys like him are the most interesting to me, that when they can make an impact. And even Anthony Mitchell, all these years later, coming back on the show a couple weeks ago, talking about his boy and what that means. You know, Tylan Wallace has that moment. And for all of the look at me, I see from wide receivers, all the Rod Tidwell, all that I've seen. I mean, I see Steve Smith still on TV. I mean, when you and I've sat with Steve Smith, I mean, I just, the personality of wide receivers, and to have that Tidwell moment where you walk off, you win on a 10-3 team, on a one seed, on a bad day, bailed out your quarterback, bailed out your, I don't want to call him the idiot coach, but I mean, come on. And you win the game, and to step up to the podium for the first time really that I've ever heard your voice, he was an impressive young man. He showed some humility. It wasn't rehearsed. It doesn't feel like Chad Steele coached him up. It felt like a real moment for him. And I thought, I'm always pissed that I'm not in the room. I want to be really clear about that for my audience and anybody that listens, and I have full right to be. You were in the room. It's one of those moments that I wanted to be in the room, ask him a question, because I thought it was a poignant moment, I think, much more so than anything that ever happens on that podium with the lies of the coach or blah, 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 you know, whatever it is that happens. Everybody patting everybody on the back and John winking at the players. Like, I see a lot of fraud in that room over the course of 25 years, what used to be very real always. I thought that kid did a great job in the, I mean, he was a hero and made me want his autograph. And that's good. That's good.
I mean, you have to feel good for him. I mean, putting aside everything else you said about the rest of it, but I mean, this is a guy who his career hasn't gone the way he would have wanted it to this point. You know, he was big time productive wide receiver at Oklahoma State. You know, there was talk at the time that the Ravens, you know, they thought that he was going to be better than a fourth round player. I mean, they had a higher grade than that, as teams always do when they take guys like that, right?
But they're always trying to find that Antonio Brown, that guy the Steelers find in the fourth or fifth round that can be a productive 6-7 year starter, right? A guy they want to give a contract to. They've never found that guy. And this is one of a long, long list that, you know, Eric DaCosta has brought up before.
Sure, but for every Antonio Brown, there's every dozen or 20 or 30 or 40 guys that are like this. But he's been able to contribute as a special teams player. He's dealt with injuries the last couple of years. He was able to contribute. And does this mean this is going to propel Tylan Wallace to bigger heights as a member of the Baltimore Ravens? I'm guessing probably not, other than through the lens of if Duvernay's out, you know, multiple weeks here or whatever with the back injury, then Tylan Wallace might have a new role in this football team. But regardless, if you're a great team, if you are a team that fancies itself on being a Super Bowl contender, on being a special kind of team, you've got to find different ways to win, because not everything's going to click. We've talked about that at length about the offense this year. You know, as well as it's played at times, they've also had some performances where you just say, oh, that wasn't good, including the Chargers game a couple weeks ago. And who won it for them? The defense. The defense has been their biggest reason for the fact that they were 9-3 going into Sunday's game. But their defense was bad for the most part on Sunday. I mean, they cleaned things up in the second half until the fourth quarter, and then they gave up a couple late drives there. So it was their offense picking it up, and Lamar Jackson doing what he did on that last drive of regulation, and certainly their special teams coming up huge for them in overtime. And you've got to win in different ways. You've got to be able to play different styles of football. Yeah, you have your strengths on a week-by-week basis, but if you're going to be a team that's sitting there as the number one seed the second week of January and you have a bye, or if you're going to be that team that's playing in late January or early February, chances are you're going to have some games that don't go your way, even as you're trying to win. Even if, as you do win, things aren't going to go perfectly. So you've got to win in different ways. So that's why I was so encouraged by what we saw on Sunday. It wasn't that the Ravens played a perfect football game, far from it, as you noted, but they had their other phases of the game rise to the occasion when their biggest strength was not a strength on Sunday. And that, to me, was what was so encouraging about this game, as the Ravens. Your point about the whole AFC is well taken. They're remaining ahead of the pack there. And we'll see, you know, pending the result of the Dolphins game. But, you know, that entire mess of 7-6 and even throw in 8-5 there for Jacksonville and Kansas City, the Ravens they're ahead of the curve. And they're in the driver's seat right now. They have to keep winning. And as to your point, it's a tough schedule. But, boy, you find ways to win games like they did on Sunday when you're not playing at your best, with even – What you're used to having in your bag, which is great defense and finding a way. That told me something about this team in terms of what's under the hood.
All right, we're going to take a break. Luke and I are going to be at this all week. We have all sorts of Maryland Crab Cake Tour stuff. We're going to be at Foreign Daughter in Timonium from 2 to 5 on Friday, maybe a little earlier, maybe staying a little later. Gina Schock's going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about gifting and all sorts of things. I'm going to be gifting Maryland Lottery scratch-offs and holiday scratch-offs to everybody that stops by. We've had a bunch of winners. I feel like Santa Claus when I give these out. It feels like ho, ho, ho. So, and they do smell, they all smell like gingerbread now. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for 5 years, all month long. Think about those windows, especially snowing at my place on Monday morning as well. And our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, take care of your oil and so much more. Make sure you're checking them out. There's one in a neighborhood near you. Luke and I got tons of football this week. We got baseball information. I'm writing columnists. Luke has been writing lots of stuff. He's going to be out in Owings Mills all week as the Ravens prepare for Jacksonville this week, then San Francisco. We're doing the show at Wise Markets next week on Monday in the afternoon at Honey Go. Luke, you're going to like this. There's a Wise Market manager who is a former professional wrestler. It's true. We're going to be talking about that next Monday. He's been all over the world. He even knows Dave the Wave. So all is well around here. The Ravens are 10-3. We might have a stadium deal. We definitely have a $13 million closer. I haven't even talked baseball with Luke about that. And you know, I have a little pep in my step. I get a little Geddy Lee. I get a little eggnog from Wise Markets. Life is good. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Tylan Wallace, of all things, and the 10-3 Baltimore Ravens. Stay with us.